And that pretty much wraps up the topical part, the contemporary part of this show. We're now going to roll into flashbacks. And the first flashback is to pick up on what we began last, I guess it was on Thursday, a Camp Paradise interview, an interview about the camp that was formed under the bridge and somewhat upriver from the Highway 1, where Highway 1 crosses over the San Lorenzo River. In 2001, Larry Templeton and three or four dozen other folks who were outside formed a homeless community, in part by people who were sent there from the Homeless Lack of Services Center at the Coral Street area, which didn't have room for them, as they still don't have room, as they have never had room for people, really, who wanted to get in there. And this was an interview on the Club Cruise show by activist Chaim Levine, who is a Philadelphia homeless activist who was in Santa Cruz for about a year and then left the scene. We're going to be joining this interview in at the midpoint, where you can also hear the earlier part of the interview by going to the archive of the show, which is on the Huff website under the name of the show, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. You go to Latest and Lost Shows and just look for the 13th show, and it's toward the end of that audio file if you want to catch the first part of this. This is an actual part of an actual video, the audio section of an actual video, which at some point I hope we can put up online as sort of a historical document, along with a lot of other of the Club Cruise shows that activist Becky Johnson produced and often hosted. She did a lot of good work around this stuff, the issues of homeless, civil rights, civil wrongs, civil needs, and so forth. Anyway, we're going to jump into that, the audio of that video now, and that's what we're going to do. And this show was recorded on June 20th, 2001. It was the 156th Club Cruise show. Chaim Levine, or Levin, was interviewing Camp Paradise co-founder Larry Templeton.
Living there right now?
The shelters sent us 15 more people in the last 2 days.
So what?
We went from about 15 to 20 to about 35 to 40 now.
Now the shelter sent you people?
Yes. They had no room for these families, and they sent them to us.
So you're taking on the...
We're taking their overload.
Wow, that's amazing. What do people do? The people that live in Camp Paradise, do they work, or how do they? What do they do with their day? From okay, they wake up. Give me an average schedule from time to wake up in the morning
okay,
to the time to go to sleep.
There's about the regular camp, except for the ones the shelter sent over to us. That's in our camp. A lot of them has went from being unemployed to working anywhere between one to two jobs.
Really?
We have a guy that's working at the Armadillo Bike Shop.
Uh-huh.
He's working full time there. Then he has a part-time job. They work from 10 o'clock in the morning till 5 at night. Then from 5:30 till 10:30, he works at Toys R Us.
So he's trying to make a living?
Yes.
What about some other people?
There's another person that is working at DJ's Mini Market on Soquel. They came down to the camp with no money. They came down no working.
So we're not just talking about homeless. We're also talking about working poor.
Yes.
People who are working and just can't make enough to afford
exactly.
to live in Santa Cruz.
The family that I'm talking about that works at DJ's, one of them works down here at our hardware store here on Pacific Avenue, Front Street, I'm sorry. He's been working there full time since he's been at the camp.
So let me ask you, money is always a big issue.
Yes.
Where is the food coming from? How are you surviving money-wise?
The people that work there, they donate a little bit of money to the camp. We get food boxes from different organizations that donate to our cook.
For example, which organization has given food?
St. Francis's Church.
Okay.
Who else? The River Street, not the Coral Street, but the River Street shelter has donated food to us.
Okay. So people are cooking? Go ahead.
Yes, and there's a few other organizations that has donated food to us. We don't ask for nothing. We ain't down on the streets begging. We have a bicycle shop there that we're teaching people how to work on bicycles.
Uh-huh.
And in that process, some bikes we do fix and we donate them back to the public of the homeless people. And bikes that we do sell, is all the money's going into this camp. Garbage bags, food, bread, a cold gallon of milk. That's what we use the money for instead of buying alcohol and drugs.
So tell me, I was out there and I saw corn, all different types of vegetables. Tell me, what are you growing out there?
Okay, in our gardens we have tomatoes, hot peppers, bell peppers, sweet peppers, radishes, carrots, sweet corn. We have some zucchini, some spaghetti squash, some pumpkins that a little boy at our camp wanted to grow himself. He wanted to be part of the garden. And so he has his own little pumpkin plant. It's just one, but this morning it has a real little pumpkin on it, and there's about 15 more blooms on this thing.
What do you guys do in your leisure time? What do you do for fun?
Oh, we sit around, play guitars. We work on bicycles. We play frisbees. We play horseshoes.
How many kids are there?
Right now we have 5 kids.
And they're in school?
They're going full-time school. They go to school in the mornings, and the fathers pick them up in the evening time. We have 2 vehicles down there that help us. And the people that's working, they're using their vehicles on their off hours to make it where we can get the kids to school and pick them up.
Let me ask you. There's a lot of pressure to drive you out. The city doesn't want you there. Mayor Fitzmaurice said they don't need a new business popping up on the riverbank. They may drive you out. What are your options?
Well, our options is to come back to the city streets again, go to places that we can't sleep, sleep where the garbage cans are, dump in a dumpster where we can climb in it if it's raining.
Are you asking help from the city?
We ain't asking them for nothing, just to leave us alone. Let this camp show them that this camp can do something good for this community.
Do you see it as a prototype for?
Yes, I do.
Explain to me.
This camp here, they've been talking about different camps around the United States. Well, some of the camps they made mobile. Well, that's back to the situation. We're all on bicycles. We do not have the vehicles to do this. Yeah, we have 2 vehicles. But if the family put their stuff in there, where's the rest of the stuff supposed to go?
Well, then we're talking really about transitional housing, right?
Yes.
Giving a person a place to be where he doesn't have to pay the rent or the electric and gas bill till he's got some money in his pocket, till he can go out and rent or something?
Exactly, exactly.
But nevertheless, it's so expensive here.
Yes, it is.
Don't you think it's sort of like a catch-22? Yeah, they're going to make money, but at some point, all that money is just going to be swallowed into rent.
Yes, it will.
Don't you have a better idea, though? You were mentioning to me earlier about buying some land.
Yes, we made the city. I talked to both mayors, Vice Mayor Crone and the Mr. Fitzmaurice.
Yeah.
Between the camp that we have, that is the original camp, except for all the people that the shelter sent to us, we could come up with $2,000 a month for rent for a piece of land, not just for the group, but for everybody in this community that will sleep it on the streets, in their sleeping bags, or under the bridges. We can make them a nice area.
So you're talking about money here.
Yes, we're talking about spending our money and making the city money.
Let me ask you a question, personally.
Yes.
How have you changed during this whole business? I mean, here you said you've been living on the river, what, since 84?
Yes.
And now it's, what, 2001?
Yep, 2001.
What have you noticed inside yourself from living there, you know, all by yourself, and now to being a founder of Camp Paradise?
Yeah, what I've seen on that river will scare a lot of people. I've seen guys stabbing each other. I've seen them OD, and they'll drink as much as they can, and the next thing you know, they're banging a needle in their arm, and they're dead.
You've seen those?
Yes, I have. I've had a lot of friends die on that river. I carried one of my friends to the riverbank and called the police for him because he OD'd. It's something that I hated. I've seen a lot of hurt in a lot of people's faces. And when I sat down and I start realizing that we're all people in this United States, and when our own government can't help us, what's wrong with it?
You have to do things on your own.
We have to work on our own. They're talking about all these organizations they have. Well, I'm kind of ticked off at one of their organizations, and it's called the River Street Homeless Shelter.
Why is that?
It's called the Family Shelter. They're asking, well, last night at the meeting, they asked for $1 million or $100,000, what he asked for our hygiene bay. This is the hygiene bay is where we wash, we go to the bathrooms, and where we can take showers. If they don't get this $100,000, they're going to close our hygiene bay down.
Where do you get your water from?
We get our water from the cemetery.
So where are you? Where are the people in Camp Paradise Bay like?
They're all at the camp. They are not at the streets. They go out to their jobs. They don't use the homeless shelter to eat. That we go over there to shower. It's all we use the homeless resource shelter for.
Okay, let's dispel a couple of rumors.
Okay.
Marijuana.
All right.
We heard just before, or many people, that the place is infested with marijuana plants, and the police had to take out 60 plants. What's that all about?
We have a young man that came down to our camp. He has HIV. He has the WHAM medical marijuana card. He has his grower's certificate. He's allowed 5 plants. He had his 5 plants. They were only this tall. They were in pots. When the police came in, they pulled 4 of them, but took 1 in a pot. There was never 60 pot plants. If they could find 60, good luck.
So this is all rumor?
That's all rumor.
No drugs?
There is no drugs at this camp.
No drugs, no pills?
No pills.
No alcohol?
No alcohol.
Hmm. Why do you think they want you out?
I think they're scared of what this little camp is going to do for the city. I feel in my heart that they're seeing a camp that is really changed. And it's scaring them now because we're planning on getting all the homeless people off the streets,
sure,
one way or the other. They don't want them in their city. Well, give them this river. You can't see us on this river.
I think the important thing is to say that this is transitional housing.
Yes.
In other words, you're not going to build a village.
No. We're helping people stay clean and sober if they want. If they want to work, we help them find jobs. There's a spot labor that we've been using quite frequently that has been a very big influence of this community, and that's San Lorenzo Lumberyard.
Mm-hmm. What have they done?
We go down, we take guys that hasn't worked, and we show them. They can stand on the sidewalk right here in front of San Lorenzo, and they get picked up for work.
And it has happened?
Yes, it has. It's happened daily.
So basically the rumor of drug-infested, lazy, you know, worthless people is just what it is.
It's a rumor.
It's a lie just to drive you out.
Yes. They're saying that it's drug infested. I'd like them to come down and look across the river from us. They're saying that it's filthy. As people can see, we cleaned up the filth.
I've noticed that you have rails set up to keep people
from walking on the wildlife.
And to keep them on the main trail.
Yes.
You, in fact, you opened up the trails, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We took shovels. We went down the trail where there was garbage piles. The trail was real narrow, real rough to walk. But we took our shovels and our garbage bags, and we have a trail now that's wide enough for anybody in a wheelchair to go down. We have a bridge that we put across the ravine that we used to have to crawl down in and come out the other side. We put a bridge across there.
That's a beautiful
one
bridge
that we built. And where the water was washing this washout at, we put a dam. And we put a goldfish pond with an overflow tube. So now it is not washing their banks out no more. It's kind of protecting their banks.
So it's all just more lies and innuendo.
Yes, more lies. What we're saying is we want people to come and see for themselves.
Sure.
The city's worried about their greenbelt area. Well, this area has been this way since 1984.
It's always a concern when people are living near a river that they're going to defecate into it or they're going to urinate into it. How do you answer those questions?
Well, the way we answer that is come and see our sites. See if you smell that. You don't smell it. You see all the greenery on our side. They're talking about all the pollution that we're supposed to be contributing to the river from this camp. Well, right straight across the river from us is a tannery. Everything on that side of the river is dying.
Yeah.
I showed the city council today they were down there. I says, you see life on this side? And I turned him around. I said, what do you see on that side? And he said, a bunch of dead grass and trees.
What?
I says, now where is the polluting coming from?
What did you feel from them? Do you feel that they're going to help you and be positive? Were they giving you the bum's rush?
I think they were doing the same thing they did before. They come down and they like it, but then as soon as they get back with their peers, they say, oh, that's a shitty place. We need to stop this.
So let me ask you, what can people do to help? What can the average guy who's watching this show, what can we do?
What I like to ask people to do is don't make your decisions of what the newspaper says. Don't make no decisions of the radios. Don't even make a decision of this program. Come down for yourselves and see it with your own eyes. People know what the San Lorenzo River was. Now it ain't that way. If city council is talking about their greenbelt area, well, since 1984, I have not seen one worker from the city to clean this up. They never came down here with garbage bags.
No.
They didn't come down with nothing since 1984. They have never been on that river to pick up trash.
Let me ask you one question. Why did you wait so long to start cleaning up the place?
I got myself clean.
That was the first thing?
Yes. That was the first agenda, is cleaning my own self up.
How'd you do that, briefly?
I turned myself in, and I'm not wanted no more. And I seen in my heart that I was doing wrong.
What kind of drugs did you do?
I was crack cocaine and meth and alcohol.
How'd you get off that?
My heart, myself.
God?
And God and my mother and father. Huh. You know, I wasn't listening to my mom and dad for a long time. But they passed away, and now they're up there with God. And they might not be kicking my butt like when I was younger, but they're up there doing it now. They're keeping me straight today.
You think they're happy about what you're up to?
Yes, I do. They're proud of me. Today I know it. I can feel it.
Do you?
Yes, I can.
So, one last word before we say goodbye tonight. Make an offering. Make an offering to the people. Look in the camera and tell them what you need.
What we need is people to come and see the place for yourself. We've cleaned up the garbage. We have everybody. All we want you to do is come, bring garbage bags. We can use anything that people can donate to us. We're just asking for people to open up your hearts. See what we've done to the Greenbelt area that the city wouldn't do. We love people, and this is how we've changed. Please stand at our side. That's all we're asking.
If people need to get in contact with Camp Paradise, they're on the Internet.
Yes, we are.
And they have an email. It's campparadise@hotmail.com. And also, if you'd like to contact Mayor Fitzmaurice and let him know how you feel, please call 420-5017. Thank you for watching Club Cruise. And please join us every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m.
That was the last half of the Camp Paradise interview, June 6, 2001, on Club Cruise. Hi, I'm Levin, talking with Larry Templeton. You're next going to hear the significant portion of the April 12, 2001 Bathrob Spears broadside show I did 18 years ago. It includes sleeping band updates, dead on David Silva, also dead, but it's worth hearing his thoughts on Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice's sleeping ban, what I call stagnation, his refusal to act on the sleeping ban as he had promised his constituents to do. Dogged Dan, Doug McGrath, He gets a report from me on the Coffee Klatch 3 successful subpoena of that mayor, Tim Fitzmaurice, or Emperor Tim, as we used to call him in the old days. Then we have an in-studio guest, Pat Kittle, who has achieved a lot of notorieties for his attacks on the Israeli government for what he believes is their involvement behind 9/11 and his speeches about that at City Council. But back in those days, he was talking about, this was actually several months prior to 2001, he was talking about we interviewed him on his own homeless period, the homeless magnet effect as he saw it, how Santa Cruz provides a better deal for the homeless in his view than that of other cities. He kind of echoes the talking points of Mayor Mike Rotkin, who actually wasn't mayor at that time, but had been mayor and would be mayor again. Then you'll also be able to hear a call-in from Music Man Merlin, who is currently a broadcaster on Free Radio and was then sort of in exile, talking about Jim Costner's smashing of the Columbus statue over in San Jose, something that Costner did in acknowledgement and trying to make the public recognize that having a statue of a genocidal murderer of the Arawak and other Indian groups on Haiti or Santo Domingo was kind of an obscenity that he felt needed to be addressed. Hobo Lee, a squatter and environmentalist, calls in and talks with Pat Kittle, who's kind of joins me for a long period on the show. Throughout the show, you're going to hear Carol Denny's satirical songs. And then finally, there's an interview with Glenn Maurer, who's the former chief public defender in Santa Barbara, who instead switched over to defending homeless people privately and just taking on a lot of cases and being successfully taking on those cases. And that is what you're going to be hearing if you stay for the flashback. Back at you again on Thursday when the show returns, assuming my voice returns as well, going to be at 6 o'clock in the evening. And you can also join us at the Conscience in Action meeting at 11 o'clock on Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe. That's right next to the Bike Church at 703 Pacific. So join us there if you'd like and you actually want to do something or take some steps toward doing something around essentially providing for homeless people. Well, it has to do essentially for me with asserting civil rights for homeless folks and making government institutions respect those rights and encouraging the community to support folks and understanding that those are rights we all have, the most basic of which has always been the right to live, which requires the right to sleep.